This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. And now, dear listeners, the sound of the highest grossing animated film of all time.
What, the ocean isn't big enough for you or something like that?
Huh?
You got a problem, buddy? Huh? Huh? Do you? Do you? Do you? You want a piece of me? Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I'm scared now. What?
Wait a minute.
Stop following me, okay?
What are you talking about? You're showing me which way the boat went.
A boat? Hey, I've seen a boat. It passed by not too long ago. It went, this way. It went this way. Follow me.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is going on? You already told me which way the boat was going.
I did.
The voices of Ellen DeGeneres and Albert Brooks from Finding Nemo. Hugely successful, but maybe the last such film to come from the Walt Disney Studios for some time. Last week, Pixar Animation Studios ended talks with Disney as the two parties failed to agree on terms to extend their 13-year partnership. Together, they'd produced a string of computer-animated hits, including A Bug's Life, Toy Story, and Monsters Incorporated. But they are not together again, and now say they never will be. This comes as several animated features are in theaters now and getting greater attention this Oscar season. Day to Day's Madeline Brand spoke with animation critic and historian Charles Solomon.
Charles, first tell us about the animated features nominated for an Oscar this year. There's Brother Bear, Finding Nemo, and The Triplets of Belleville.
Well, the last two were pretty much foregone conclusions. I think everyone who's interested in animation was excited by those two films. For very different reasons. The third spot was considered pretty much open. It could have been Brother Bear. It could have been Millennium Actress. It could have been Looney Tunes Back in Action, depending on what the voters were most interested in. But I think the contest is really between Nemo, which is the big studio mega success, $339 million plus just in this country, and Triplets of Belleville, which is this small, independent, quirky film that took 5 years to put together the financing from Belgium, France, Canada, and England, but is very, very different from what we're used to seeing in animation in America and is quite wonderful in its just unabashed individualism and kind of off-the-wall nuttiness.
And this movie, interestingly, has virtually no dialogue.
It's done almost entirely in mime, which is an extraordinary challenge to the animators, with ambient noises and sound effects and music. And it opens with a spoof of the Max Fleischer Betty Boop cartoons of the early 30s, where the triplets perform the title song, which is also nominated for an Oscar, that's Belleville Rendezvous.
I suppose both movies appeal to all ages, but Nemo was definitely geared towards children, whereas The Triplets of Belleville seems to be more of an adult-oriented film.
Well, I would say that Nemo is in the tradition of the great old Disney features, and for that matter, the Warner's shorts, where there's something in it that will appeal to the least sophisticated member of the audience as well as the most, that it's something a big general audience can go and see and enjoy. Belleville is definitely skewed older. It's not for small children. But in Europe and in Asia, they don't have the prejudice that we do in America, that animation is really something for kids that adults might enjoy once in a while. If you want to tell a more adult story, there's no reason not to in those countries. And Belleville is much more an example of that sensibility, that you don't have to have an adorable little lisping kid or someone making anachronistic jokes or a lot of treacly songs or a big love being the carrying theme of the film. If you want to make a quirky story about a club-footed Portuguese grandmother, her bicycle-racing nephew, and three old beldams who were once great music hall stars, well, you go ahead and you do that.
And there's also a movie that came out this year, which was not nominated, but got a lot of critical acclaim, Tokyo Godfathers. Tell us about that one.
Well, Satoshi Kon has clearly emerged as one of the most interesting directors to come up in animation in the last couple of years, with Millennium Actress, which was also released last year in this country and was eligible, and Tokyo Godfathers. They're, again, very, very unusual films by what we're accustomed to thinking of as animation. Tokyo Godfathers centers on three homeless people, an alcoholic ex-cyclist, a sulky teenage schoolgirl and a former drag entertainer who find a baby abandoned in Tokyo in the middle of the winter and try and find the child's real parents. And as they do this, each one has to confront his own past and mistakes that he's made and lies that he's told to the others and to himself or herself. And they all grow and learn from it without it being kind of an icky pseudo-Capra event. It's, again, a very dark picture. It's snowing. It's bitterly cold. These are people very much on the edge of society in a way that we usually don't think of existing in Japan. We think of that as, you know, such an antiseptically clean country. The idea that there are homeless encampments in the center of Tokyo is in itself news to us, whereas to the Japanese, it's just another area that you can explore in this very flexible medium of animation. But Khan is a very, very effective filmmaker, very interesting use of color and editing and camera angles, much more personal and individual than American features tend to be.
Now, let's get back to Disney, and it's encountering some major problems right now in its animation department. Pixar has announced it wants to leave, which is that the death knell for animation at Disney?
Well, I hope it's not the death knell, but Pixar has in some way supplanted Disney as the studio whose name you look for when you want to see a film that you know will have something in it for everyone, that will be a really well-told story, that will be technologically innovative, and will probably charm the socks off you at the same time that you shed a tear or two while you're watching it. Very much Walt Disney's personal philosophy of making movies. So for Disney, the loss of Pixar is not only a loss of revenue, but I think a loss of inspiration. It's like losing both a gold mine and the Fabergé workshop that was attached to it.
And now they're laying off animators left and right.
Oh, they've laid off hundreds of animators. They've closed their studio in Florida and the one in Paris. Ironically, Brother Bear, which is nominated for an Oscar, was done in Florida, and Destino, which is nominated for short film, was done in Paris just before they closed them.
So if Pixar leaves, what will they do?
Well, they're supposed to be switching to digital production and be doing primarily CG films of their own, but so far the only one they've done was Dinosaur, which was not a huge hit, which was very expensive to produce. And I wonder if they haven't been able to assemble a team to make two-dimensional films, why they think that team will be able to make three-dimensional films. The strength of Pixar is not the computer animation or the dimensionality of their characters, but the strength of their storytelling and of making characters you believe in and care about.
Charles Solomon is an animation critic for many publications, including the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And thanks for that interview to Day-to-Day's Madeline Brand.